I want to invite you to tune in to the Table Talk Radio Show, where we'll be having candid conversations about politics, education, fashion, reality shows, what's trending, and more. I want to hear what you have to say. No subjects are off limits. Grab your coffee and tea and let's talk. I'm your host, Tanisha Simpkins.
Welcome to the Table Talk Radio Show. My name is Tanisha Simpkins. As soon as that died down. Well, hello out there in Radio Land. This is Tanisha Simpkins with the Table Talk Radio Show. And what makes up the Table Talk Radio Show is the gang is all here. We have Nellie Joseph, LaWanda Jones, and Nathan Austin.
Hey, what's happening?
Finally, in one place.
Look here. I done told you. I feel like there's some shade on that commentary right there, Madam Program Director. We here?
Exactly. Right. In one spot all together. And we have an awesome guest, Teresha Lee, here with us in the studio. Y'all don't miss me. In the studio here. So we're going to have a good time, guys. I say we're going to have a good time because we have some awesome conversation. Her joining us with conversation and us talking about exactly a whole lot of what's going on in the news and here in South Florida. We are always on the map. I don't care
anything
what
happening lately? Nothing?
Always
nothing
on
happening?
The map.
Okay, cool.
Anything that happens in South Florida? Pretty much.
Everything happens in South Florida. Yeah. Alligators, hurricanes, and crazy elections. Come on, y'all.
Oh, yeah, wow. Absolutely, absolutely. But this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and rejoice in it, hoping that everyone had an awesome Sunday, that you guys preached some good messages here. I seen on Facebook Austin say that the glory came in.
Yes, had a great time.
He said recount. I don't know. That probably was the message for every pastor this
no,
morning.
No. That was something that just happened in church. It was all, it kind of flowed with that. But
it was slayed out. Hey, that sound good to me.
No, God was great. God was good today. It was our Vision Sunday. And
oh,
so
okay.
we cashed our vision.
I was too.
Really?
I got my shirt on.
Oh,
shirt
wow. What does that say?
Cannonball. It was our commitment Sunday.
Okay.
Cannonball. We're going all in. We're not jumping. We're not leaping. But we're going all in and making waves.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Two-year campaign.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So we started today.
Wonderful.
Yeah. I cast my faith. I wrote that number down.
Oh, boy.
It was good. I changed it. So okay. I knew I had a whole lot of faith then. If that makes sense.
Listen, it's not faith if you can't feel it leave your pocket.
That's ooh. Right. Come all on, right. girl.
If you don't feel it leave your pocket, there wasn't no faith associated with that. So go back and dip again.
Oh, ooh. Jesus.
Now, oh, I'm going to have to go back.
Challenge
I'm have
me.
To
she
go
made
back.
My heart jump.
I may have to go back.
I know.
Let me get
I
that
know.
Cash app.
I know, that sounds good. You know what? And you're right. You know, because, it, you know, my pastor was good today. He after he sent his message, he let the music play for a little bit. You know, I know a lot of folks had to erase and change their mind. They gave you a much time. God will give you a number, you know?
Mm.
And that's what happens. And I'm glad about it. I'm glad you said that, Jones. What's up, LaWanda? I'm sorry.
Praise the living Lamb of God.
You want to go ahead?
No.
Okay.
No. Just call me LaWanda will be LaWanda. That's all.
LaWanda will be LaWanda.
LaWanda will be LaWanda. No last names is necessary. Amen.
Amen. So what happened in church today, Nelly?
Oh, it was really good. Today we talked about the power of the voice that came through the burning bush. And we went into John chapter 8 where the Lord says that I am. And we talked about the power of I am.
Like
the Lord
am.
Can be everything you need him to be. The Father, your mother, your provider, everything. So that's what we talked about today.
All right, awesome. You know what I like about Nelly, that I learned about Nelly when she preaches? She's going to give you that high, and then she knows when, Pastor. Even though it's her first year, she knows when to bring that thing down.
All right.
Yeah. She's equipped
that
good.
Come check it out.
Yeah. What about you, Teresha?
Prophetess. I'm sorry. That's an inside
joke. Might as well put it on out there.
That's an inside
joke. Might as well put it on out
all
there.
Right. All right.
Shando.
Well, see, here's the real thing about life. I currently have a 10-month-old that is teething. So he woke up about 6 times last night.
Oh, wow.
So it wasn't until a good 9, 10 o'clock that I actually even got to go to sleep.
Oh.
So the Lord was in my heart. But I'm getting blessed from just hearing y'all.
Amen. That was a good Christian way of saying I ain't go to church today.
That was really,
right.
really good.
I like that.
The Lord knows my heart.
Right.
Lord, for that 10-month-old, too.
Yes, please pray.
I didn't have that option when I had a 10-month-old. I had to go.
Yeah, just get up and go.
That's because you the pastor.
I know, right? I know, right? I got
to
go.
Show up when we ain't there.
All right, exactly.
And you got a good wife. So that really worked out for
that
you.
Helped.
That works.
Yep, sure does.
So I would like for you to introduce yourself, our guest, Teresha Lee. Just tell us a little bit about you.
Sure. So I am Teresha Lee. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome.
I'm excited to be here. So I actually am the founder of a business called Propensities by Teresha Lee.
And not prophetess.
not prophetess. So what Propensities means actually is characteristics, habits, or traits. So I look at and actually research characteristics, habits, and traits of those walking in faith, those walking in purpose, and those walking in success. So those people with great faith, what are their habits? What are their traits? What is leading them to have this abundant amount of success, of purpose, of faith? And then I take those characteristics, those practical theological tools, and I actually create programs and I create workshops and I teach people how to walk in that same vein and get the ultimate victory out of their journey in life.
Awesome. And you also work with ministries as well?
And I also work with ministries and churches. Ministries and universities. So I help them with programming. I help them with organizing and structuring their staff. How to actually create programming that will impact the community and not just, well, I like doing this. Well, what about the actual people? So I've worked with several universities and churches with helping them with programming and structuring and organizing internally.
Okay, so. We call that now directors, executive directors, or...
Yeah, sometimes you need an outside look to come in and say, okay, what do we need to, you know, rework and redo here? So I'm that outside voice.
Wow, that can be a challenge, though, especially with somebody coming from out, going in.
Absolutely.
And it's also probably one of the things that a lot of people actually reject, but it's also mm-hmm. something that is incredibly needed. I was just recently in a sales training with one of my mentors, and one of the things that he instilled in me on this week that was just that has literally stuck with me out of the training this week was he said that the difference between being successful and unsuccessful is the habits that you create.
Absolutely.
And he took me through a series of individuals that are very successful in sales, and he had three individuals that were very successful. A child, because mm-hmm. a child will keep you from going to church in the morning when they teething. 10 months old, they cry and all they know how to do, and they are the best closers in the mm-hmm. world. They gonna get what they want. Mm-hmm. They gonna cry and they gonna beg mommy until mommy responds. Mm-hmm. So a child is the number one salesperson. And then he said the church is a great salesperson because it's traditional, because it's needed, it's required, it's necessary. The church, mm-hmm. you know, because the church doesn't have to really go through a lot of stuff because we give because we're doing it as unto the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so he used that. But then this third person blew me away. He said a homeless person is an excellent salesperson. He said because homeless people don't care what they smell like, what they look like, what they sound like. All they do is they're focused in on getting what they want mm-hmm. to do. And I was looking at that from an outsider's perspective, from my own personal stuff that I do, and I'm like, wow, what a revelation. But the only reason why I got that is because I was willing to bring somebody into my business to be able to assess where I'm at in my own business and why am I not actually hitting the marks that I want to hit. And had I not submitted myself to that, I would have never learned those critical keys. So don't despise when somebody wants to come in and give you some tips and hints, because baby beloved, let me tell you, you don't know it all. And sometimes you need somebody to come in with an eye to be able to really help you to get to your next level in your business, your professional life, your personal life, whatever it is that you're doing, your ministry. Sometimes you need that person to come in. And so here we have it on the Table Talk Radio Show, an opportunity for you to get that outside look. I love it. Absolutely. You got passion. I like
Absolutely.
Passion.
I think that's one of the things in churches that we sometimes overlook. We look at the Genesis, the story in Genesis where God said it's not good for man to be alone. And we always say that's marriage. But we don't look at our partnerships. And a lot of businesses, a lot of ministries, a lot of, you know, mom and pops, they aren't going to the next level because they refuse to partner with anyone. Right. They want all the success and they don't want to share it with anyone.
Us four and no more.
Wow.
We take it, us four, no more. That's all we got. We take it us to the top and that's it. Ooh, this is good. Y'all wow. jump in.
So let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Teresha. Don't mind me. What are some of the opportunities that that makes an effective ministry from the process you've been doing or your experience?
Some of the opportunities that make an effective ministry are ministries that actually pull from your strength. They pull from your strength and not emphasize your weakness. A lot of times we want to be well-rounded. So we say, I'm great at speaking, but I'm not so good at serving. So let's work on serving. No, you need to speak because that's your strength. So let's emphasize your strength and give you the opportunities to continue to grow and maximize that. And you find a lot of times in ministries, we work from our weakness and not from our strength. So if we have a weakness in volunteers, that's where we emphasize, as opposed to we're great at evangelizing. So let's stay in that vein, because maybe that's what this house is called to. A lot of people, a lot of leaders overlook that, and they don't know how to pull from their strengths. They only maximize their weaknesses. Another one is making staff your partners. The churches and the organizations and the universities that make staff their partners, those are the ones that blow up, because what they do is they give them ownership.
Empower.
They empower them. And when you empower them, not only do they celebrate in your success, but they take ownership in your failures. And what that does is it leaves the pastor covered. The pastor isn't the only one out there saying, we messed up. So it's all on me. The staff stands up and says, look, we dropped the ball too. And here's how we can help you. So when you give them some ownership in it, they become your partners and not just your staff. And the third one is learning your demographic. When you know your people, a lot of churches have people that commute from afar. But then you look at the universe, at the area that they're actually planted in, and nobody's coming from there. Well, why? Why is that? I worked for a church at one point that was surrounded by a Hispanic community, and everyone commuted no less than 45 minutes in to that Hispanic community, but they were never able to infiltrate the Hispanic community. And I said, well, why is that? Does anybody here speak Spanish? Has anybody here canvassed the neighborhood? A lot of times we overlook the resources that are right outside our doors because our people are coming from a greater distance.
Right. And I want to comment on that. You know, for a while I did ministry, being in the director of ministry. Mm-hmm. And what you said is so true. It's the resources that actually draw churches. Mm-hmm. You know, the church that I am at right now, we have been one of the top 10 churches in the last 2 years nationwide, the fastest growing church. Mm-hmm. And that's because of the resources that are available. And they're not all about the money resources, just like you said with Spanish. Why don't you have the little monitor things that, mm-hmm. you know, that can translate while they listen? You may not have a Spanish speaker speaking up there at the same time that they're speaking, but the resources are there. They know that that's available, then they know that they will come,
yeah.
you know, or even the resources of the children's ministries. Even if you got 4 or 5 kids, you can still start, because when someone else comes to visit, then they'll know that, okay, you have a children's ministry. My child mm-hmm. can go here while I'm in service. But it's always the resources and also the team. Even though it doesn't have to be a negative where we fail, it also can be a positive as to how successful we are partnering
Absolutely.
With everybody who's taking playing a part, or as we say, volunteering, you know, for whatever ministry. Now most people don't have the ministries anymore. You know, they don't have this ministry. We call them now, if they know to move forward, we call it everybody just volunteers. because sometimes people just test drive, you know, what ministry they may not, and then they feel stuck. So you have to give them the opportunity to just test drive. Okay, let me let you test drive over here, because, you know, if you want to be an usher, then you find that you don't smile a lot, you know. Or let me let you, well, I don't know about the choir, but some folks feel like they can sing, you know. Let me let you test drive over there and do that. But your answer is so profound, because sometimes us as people who are out there listening, ministers, we need to know it's the resources that actually keep people there.
It's absolutely the resources.
Pastors, what y'all say?
Well, I embrace the concept. Something that we, as we said, this is our Vision Sunday. It's our church anniversary, but our Vision Sunday. And, of course, before I cast the vision, my assistant and youth pastor, we, you know, digest the vision, went over it with him, because he has to play an intricate part in what we do with our children. And so, because we do a lot of tag team as it relates to being on the same page with topics and things of that nature. And it's vitally important that we bring other people to the table. You said something that most pastors deal with. They take the failures personally. One of the things about pastoring, it's a thankless job. Church is going well, we give God the glory.
Right.
If it's failing, it's the pastor's fault. And so there is no wiggle room for the pastor. And so you said something of the team concept. Failures, we fail, we succeed as a team, we fail as a team. And I think more churches need to embrace that, more pastors need to embrace that, and more churches need to embrace someone else coming in. It's the we never done it this way before.
As you
stated, it's just us four and no more, and we get intimidated by someone else's view on something. And I think churches would do a better job getting an outside point of view that would help us to see what we cannot see.
I think
absolutely.
I think that's very important, because the Bible says that there's gifts of administration, and so there are those that have that gift, that has that evangelistic mindset, that wherever you're planted, you have to know the area. It's just like opening up a business. You should first take some type of go around and find out who's here, what's the need, is there a need for what I have to offer them? Because if there's no need, then you shouldn't be placed there. So I think that that's so important as far as what you were saying, as far as coming together and being a team. A kingdom divided can't stand. So you need everyone. You need that extra eye, and just understanding what it means to be one body, one church. You really need it, because you have that vision. You have the eye for it. And we have to be open, because there's been places where I visited, I stayed for a little bit, and I looked around and was like, they got it all set up wrong. Like mentally, you can see, well, okay, if you shift this person here and shift it here, but it was like I kept it to myself, because I knew that leader wouldn't be open to it.
Right.
But they don't understand that the gift that God is giving, they don't understand your background, where you came from.
Yeah.
And so it's important to be open, because a lot of ministries are suffering because they don't want to bring that new generation, the one that understands how things work, how to build, to come in.
Was about to add something.
No, I was actually pushing the mic to Pastor Nelly, because she was just being a little too silent today. I don't have nothing to say.
Awesome. Well, that was good. And one of the things also, Teresha, that you speak on is in regards to purpose.
Yes.
You know, purpose. You know, it's that time of year. Everybody get towards the end of the year, they start boo-hoo crying, I don't know my purpose, you know, what is my purpose, am I just here, you know, that's when they start getting the coaches, and start, you know, as they journey through church, I need to know my purpose, they buy more books on purpose around this time of year, you know, but my question is, why is it so hard for us or folks to know our purpose and to just walk in it, you know, like sometimes we know it, you know? Pastor Joseph, but it's so hard for us to just put our finger on it and then just walk in it.
Yeah. I say more people than not know their purpose. They're walking in their purpose in some aspect. They just haven't recognized it. They just haven't, because what I do a workshop called Purpose 101, and that's actually leading people to find their purpose. Can I tell you your purpose? Absolutely not. I cannot. And I make sure I tell people that up front. I cannot tell you your purpose. But what I can do is help you on the path to discovering
it
yourself. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So one thing that I have to do most times, and that ends up taking up majority of that workshop, is deconstructing. A lot of times we are, well, your daddy was good at this, so this looks good on you. Your mama had this anointing, so you should do this. Mm-hmm. Purpose is this, and purpose is won't hurt right. you. And purpose, you won't. It's effortless. And purpose, you'll never work a day in your life. I talked specifically about cliches and how cliches are killing people. Mm-hmm. Because we're taking these cliches and we're applying them like they're the Bible, and we're using those to define purpose. So people are confused because they're like, I thought if I found my purpose, I'd never work another day in my life.
right?
But why does this feel like work?
Right.
Because, baby, it is.
Yeah.
It's work, and you're going to have to work. And some days you're not going to want to do it. But because you know this is what you're graced to do,
yeah.
you keep going.
Right.
So a lot of times it's deconstructing those mentalities, those cliches, those just wrong definitions. That's what's holding a lot of people back, because they're saying, well, purpose has to look like this and come from this and be like this. And we get confused a lot with gifts, too.
Mm-hmm.
So we think, oh, well, my gift is singing, so that must be my purpose.
Mm-hmm. And that's not necessarily true.
It's not. Right. It's Mm-mm. not.
It's not necessarily true. The second letter in the word purpose is you. Mm-hmm. And I think in order for you to really find out what your purpose is, you must first know yourself. Mm-hmm. And then you have to learn how to be true to yourself yes. and not be afraid. One of the things that really keeps people from tapping into their purpose is fear. Mm-hmm. They're afraid oh, yeah. of what's going to happen if. And sometime, if. At some point, Absolutely. If. You know, because and that word if always has that dot, dot, dot right after mm-hmm. it. Because we don't know what's on the other side of the next decision that we're going to make. Mm-hmm. And it's incumbent upon us. It's you. You are the key. You are the only thing that holds the word purpose together. You hold it together. And you have to be willing to take that leap of faith, to do whatever is necessary to usher you into that place where you know that you can be ultimately happy. Mm. And this is right. You are right. This is the time of year, because I am determined. In these last 30 days, I have made a confession. There are some things in 2018 that, baby, you're going to have to stay right here.
All right.
I'm going to have to leave you right here in mm-hmm. 2018, because the only way you're going to be able to go into 2019 is if I take you with me. And I'm just determined that I'm not going to do that. There are some things that are no longer serving me, that are no longer purposeful for me, that are no longer healthy for me. That I went to the spa. I went to the spa Friday. And I did it because I could literally taste toxicity in the back of my tongue.
Wow. Wow.
It was a point in time where sometimes you just got to shut down on some things and stop allowing people and things and stuff that have plagued you to continue to wear you down. You got to know when to say when. And there are some things that I'm just like, I loved you while we were here. We had a wonderful time. But you can't go into 2019. So it's not about finding purpose. It's really about making sure that some of the stuff that I got to leave here got to stay right here.
I know that's right.
What really helped me to find my purpose is the scripture that says, where your passion is where your treasure is. And so I had to look within myself and say, okay, Nelly, you know, what is it that you love to do? What brings you joy? Because treasure is not always about money.
That's right.
And so I had to sit there and say, okay, not to go by what society says, what my parents says, but what makes me happy? Because if I really look at it, if I didn't step out by faith, I would never be pastoring, because in my culture, women don't really pastor. We are maybe evangelists. We can make missionary. We bake and we do all of that. But to stand on the platform, and I've gone to many churches where they don't allow me to go stand up front, and that's fine. That's how you feel here, and that's okay. But, you know, learning your passion and knowing what it is so important, because now I have this joy. Mm-hmm. I've completed so many things before that, because I didn't know what my purpose was and I was walking in fear. I could never do them. I could never accomplish them. So knowing your purpose is so, so important.
Both of you said something that was critical about purpose. One talked about the path, and you talked about the people. The thing about purpose is, once you're on the path of purpose, you have to stay on it. Mm. I think a lot of people miss their purpose because they kind of get tired or even bored of it. But once you find that purpose, you have to stay on that path. You do God a disservice when you get off that path trying to find something that He's already given you.
Mm-hmm.
I know my purpose in life is to position people to prosper. That's what I do. That's the banner in which I live up under. You said something that's critical. We have to be careful of the people that will pull us away from purpose. That's demonic, I believe. that sometimes if we're not careful, we will find ourselves surrounded with people mm-hmm. that are pulling us in directions that God never intended for us to go. Mm-hmm. And when we allow them to do that, then we're trying to figure out what am I supposed to do? And it's because you're no longer on the path you're that God intended for you to be. Mm-hmm. There is so much power in positioning. Mm-hmm. Once you're out of position, everything will go horrible in your life. But when you are in position, things can happen to you. And everyone has their own position. Right. When you look at basketball, Steph Curry, his position is at the three-point line. That's where he does his major work. But if you're a seven-foot center, you've got to be under the rim. Right. Just because, you know, you can't say, well, slam dunking only gives me 2 points, and Steph Curry shooting threes, he scores more than me. When you go out on the 3-point line, you're not going to score as much as Steph Curry. You're out of position. And so purpose has everything to do with getting on the path, staying on the path, and making sure that you're in the right position and not allowing people to pull you off of that path.
Absolutely. I want to say something before we go into break, and this will be a transparent moment. Y'all know I don't care.
Lord.
I'm apologetic about me.
Sometimes we need to just check with you first.
what you said was so absolutely. I was doing a coaching, and we were talking, and I said that I was upset about what may have happened last year. Mm-hmm. So much had happened. But then it was my moment that I said, and I confess, I said, but I was really out of position. Mm-hmm. I said, that's why so much of that turmoil, then sickness, and all of this came about, because I was out of position. But I knew I was out of position.
Wow.
So I put myself down thinking that, okay, well, you know, if I just sit down, you know, it'll be all right. No, I was out of position.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it's a wonderful thing that we can confess when we're out of position when it comes to our purpose, that we can get ourselves back into reposition. Mm-hmm. You know, because we serve a God like that. He gives us so much grace. I ain't going to overuse grace now. But I'm thankful for the grace that he gives.
Love it.
All right. So, absolutely. Guys, we're going to go ahead and take a break, and we'll be right back with some hot topics. You're listening to the Table Talk Radio Show here on WMBM.
I jumped up from the floor to the middle. Think I want the credit I don't, 'cause the glory.